Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 23rd day of July 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians from Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana, the five top corn-producing states in the nation, will be along with updates from their regions. It's getting hotter and drier out west, by the way, but you probably already know that. Speaking of hot and dry, we'll talk with Don Day at the end of the half hour. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago for Tuesday afternoon. Futures were lower. September contract for the soft red winter wheat at 653¾, down 6. December down 5¾ at 665½. September corn futures a loss today, down 18¼ cents at 522½. December futures at $4.85½, down 12½. And the March contract, 498, 12¼ lower. May corn at 506, down 12¼. And July at 512, down 12 cents. Next year's December, or the 2014 contract, at $5.15¾, a dime lower. August soybeans, this is where the action really was for the day, down 57¾ cents at $14.62½. September at 13.24, down 24¾. And November beans, $12.60¼, 28¼ lower. January futures, 12.65, 27½ lower. The March down 25 at 12.64¼. And November of 2014 at $12.22¾, down 16¾. Bean meal futures settled at 487.80, down 14.60. In the August, the oil at 44.78, 63 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at 120.90, up 2½ cents on the afternoon. October at 125.90, up 30. August feeders 153.60, 67½ higher. September's at 156.62½, up 75 cents. And the August lean hogs for the day, $99.17½, up $2.05. October, $1.05 higher at $86.32½. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, September contract, 107 and 25. That's 31 cents higher for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $3.06¾, 8½ cents higher. Ethanol at $2.37¼, down 5⅛ cents. The spread between those two now at 69¼ cents. That's 6⅙ cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.73¼, up 5⅞ cents. And diesel fuel trading 0.6 cents higher at $3.07¾. Gold futures at $13.34¼. The settlement price are at $1,334.70, and they finished down $1.30. The U.S. dollar trading 81.94. That's down 0.27 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see mostly sunny skies, a high of 84 degrees, a north-northwest wind at about 13 miles an hour, partly cloudy this evening. The low this evening should get to about 58, north winds at 8 to 11, and then tomorrow mostly sunny and 77 degrees, partly cloudy on Wednesday evening and 57 on an east-northeast wind at 3 to 6, and Thursday sunny skies and 79. The east winds will continue light. Thursday evening, mostly clear and a low of 62, and Friday partly sunny, high near 80. Friday night, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 63. And Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 76 degrees. By the time we get to Saturday evening, we should see partly cloudy skies and a low of 58. And on Sunday, mostly sunny, and 76. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
On this Tuesday afternoon, let's check the futures markets and how they traded with commodity broker from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, Wayne Nelson. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
And it was ugly in the bean pit. Any primary force that pushed the market around?
Well, I think, it was a couple things. The worst one being that China announced that they're going to probably release 3 million metric tons out of their reserves to help their processors get through until the new crop comes on here this fall in the real tight situation. I think that really affected and caused stops to be hit. And I think then we saw the funds sell somewhere between 5,000 and 7,000 contracts of beans that got hit by stops. So that, along with a little better weather forecast, was really hard on the bean pit.
Is it a stopgap measure on the Chinese part, or do they simply have enough that they're willing and quite capable, and I suppose this is really the question, to continue to release from the reserves rather than buy on the open market?
You know, as we read through things here, we see that there's a lot of people think that they will restock as the fall harvest comes in, and it's a better harvest than what we've been looking for maybe even just a week ago here in the U.S. and, of course, around the world. So we think that they probably will restock later, but as of today, it was just the news and sort of the shock that the tightness isn't quite as tight here for the month of August.
Is there anything that a producer should consider doing in the face of such a large drop in the old crop and even the new crop soybeans?
Well, you know, most of the farmers shouldn't have too many old crop beans left. They were very tight. Most everybody's been sold out of those. I think you're going to want to wait and give it a day or two here to see if there's a little bounce back just off this great reaction and stop losses we took today. But all in all, you know, the weather forecast continues to get just a little bit better. The corn suffered on the profit-taking because of the wetter GFS outlook at noon, the little precipitation that fell in central Iowa last night, and then it also got hit with stops when we dropped below 490 in the December corn, Todd. So, just the crop ratings really in this cooler weather for pollination just gives everybody a little more feeling of confidence that we're going to have a little better crop than what we thought.
And what do the crops look like in your area?
Oh, you know, we got an inch and six-tenths between Saturday and Sunday over here. We're just ideal. Everything's looking beautiful as far as that goes. But, there's lots of areas along the way that don't look good in some areas. You know, we talked this morning about the Doan little tour and on the western side of Illinois where we thought there were some problems, and they saw things were progressing along and the weather had been very beneficial to the development there.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
The livestock producer, a cheaper bean meal for sure right now, and that's a good thing because they've been paying through the nose for that.
Will it continue to go lower, do you suppose?
I think that we will work our way a little lower here as the supplies loosen up a little bit for this August time frame.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Joins us on the closing market report for this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
You are listening to the closing market report from Illinois Public Media. University of Illinois Extension Safety Specialist Baba Heron is on the phone line with us this afternoon to talk about grain bin safety. As we make our way through the month of July and August and producers are thinking about cleaning out bins for both corn and soybeans, they really do need to consider their own safety. He's on the other line. Hey, Bob, thank you so much. Heron is with us. How are you this afternoon? He should be with us. Bob, are you with us?
Hear me?
Yep, I'm with you. Sorry about that. I didn't check everything on my board. Thank you so much. Hey, can you tell me a little bit about grain bin safety at this time of year and what producers will find in their bins, what problems they should be worried about, and the kinds of risks they might be facing?
Well, right now, many producers, of course, are moving their grain out to get prepared for the fall harvest. And sometimes you go into a grain bin, you'll find grain that's been bridged over. In some cases, you have the grain is, of course, caked on the sidewalls, or may have a crust that's formed over the top layer. When we start to move the grain out, the farmers will often see a need to try to break up that bridge or crusted grain. And one of the things we need to really try to avoid is going into the bin when the grain is flowing out of the bin, because of the significant risk that's involved. There's a tremendous amount of force in that center where the grain is moving through the bin to the bottom, to the unloading auger at the bottom of the bin. And it only takes about 2 to 4 seconds before the grain is above your knees. And at that point, you're trapped to the point you cannot get out yourself. And it only takes about 12 to 20 seconds, depending how fast the augers are moving, to completely engulf the person. And so the risk is dramatic, because also when you go under grain, there's a tremendous amount of pressure around the body. Most people, scream or yelling, you get grain in your throat, and so it doesn't take long to suffocate. And so it's very important to not go in those bins the grain's flowing. If we have any bridged up grain, we always want to be above it. We also don't want to be standing on that bridge because it could avalanche and break loose and avalanche and bury the person as well. So we need to usually try to stand in an area where there's not the danger of the grain coming down on top of you, or do it from the top if there's opening where you can get a pole in there or something to break it up. But definitely not going under the grain's flowing. And also, it's very critical, and a lot of people don't do this, but when you go in a grain bin, it's very important, where there's more than 6 feet of grain, to wear a harness and a safety rope so as to keep and be set up in such a way that it keeps you from falling more than a foot or two if you happen to fall through a cavity or start to get pulled under because somebody maybe inadvertently turns on the grain, augers the grain out of the bin. So that lifeline and harness will protect you from going under the grain. It's our standard safe work practices. It's a business that would be under the OSHA regulations. It's also an OSHA requirement for entering grain bins.
Yeah. So number one, turn off the augers before you get into the bin. Number two, try to wear a harness.
Right.
And if you've got grain that has you've got stiff grain, how do you loosen up? What should you use to get in and move grain around? Are you just put the harness on and make sure everything's shut off and go in with the scoop, or do you do something else?
Well, the key thing is that you can do it with the scoop if you can do it if the loose grain, the good grain, is up high enough off the side of the bridge that you can go in there and break it up without getting your head below the bridged up grain, because the problem with that is that the bridge could collapse on you. If you can, but the first choice would be if you can break up as much as you possibly can from the hatch opening at the top of the bin using a pole or something of that nature would also be helpful. So as much as you can break up the bridge before you go in there, or at least to the point where you don't have to go in there and put yourself in a position where you're below the bridge, or where you have to stand on top of the bridged up grain, because either way, it could either avalanche on top of you, or your weight could cause it to avalanche, and that could also bury you.
Bob, thanks so much for taking the time with us and working with the safety for farmers across the nation. We do appreciate that.
You're quite welcome.
Bob Aharon is an extension safety specialist right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's in the College of Vases and part of the engineering team, of course, and with University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 43% of the corn crop is now silking. The rolling five-year average is 56%. The condition of the crop remains pretty good, although it's dropped off from the previous week. The good category at 46%, excellent 17% the previous week at 49 and 17, so a 3 percentage point drop in those two categories combined, but all came in the good category, where it dropped back 3%. In the blooming stage for soybeans at 46%, and the rolling five-year average is normally 59%. 8% of that crop is setting pods. On the rolling five-year average, that's 19%. The condition of the soybean crop in 51% good, 13% excellent. That's dropped back 1 percentage point from the previous week. In the combined categories, it was 52% good last week. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Aaron Cosgrove for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office. Crops were beginning to need rain as the third consecutive week with below-average precipitation combined with hot temperatures to cause soil moisture conditions across the state to decline. Statewide, there was an average of just 0.06 of an inch of rain, well below the normal of just over an inch. Meanwhile, the hottest week in almost a year saw temperatures average 4.8 degrees above normal. Reported rainfall ranged from none in many areas to 0.86 of an inch south of Elkander. With the limited rainfall and hot temperatures in most areas, topsoil moisture ratings in the adequate to surplus categories statewide declined 22 percentage points from last week to 43%, while subsoil moisture rated 66% adequate to surplus, a decline of 18 points from the prior week. 35% of the corn crop has tasseled, and 18% of the crop has silked, both about 10 days behind the normal pace, while 55% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition. With 56% of the soybean crop rated good to excellent, 36% of the soybean crop has begun blooming, well behind the normal 70%. Scattered reports of soybean setting pods were received. This is Aaron Cosgrove reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Heartland Region, with the weekly crop weather report for Illinois for the week ending July 21st, 2013. Crop development advances as the state received just under an inch of rain this past week, however still nearly a half an inch below average. Farmers are hoping for rain in the near future to help some of the later planted crops develop. The temperatures across the state averaged 80.7 degrees for the week, that's 3.9 degrees above normal. Corn conditions were rated with 1% very poor, 7% poor, 27% fair, 46% good, and 19% excellent. 64% of the corn is silked stage or beyond, and the average height reached 75 inches. That's 12 inches taller than the previous week. Soybeans blooming progressed to 50%, and soybean condition was rated with 2% very poor, 5% poor, 21% fair, 59% good, and 13% excellent. Activities for the week included spraying, baling hay and straw, and finishing the wheat harvest. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Heartland Region, serving Illinois.
This is Scott Kelly with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Nebraska Crop Progress Report for July 21st, 2013. Another week of limited precipitation and seasonably hot temperatures stressed dryland crops. Pockets of rain did occur early and again late in the week, but no general rainfall was received across the state as crops neared peak moisture demands. Wheat harvest continued in the west and advanced northward, but progress was limited in the Panhandle counties due to high grain moisture levels. Statewide irrigated corn condition rated 82% good or excellent. This compared to 75% average. Dryland corn conditions rated 45% good or excellent. This is below 68% average. Poorest dryland conditions were in south central counties. Corn silking was at 50% complete, behind last year and average. 63% of the soybean crop rated good or excellent, with near two-thirds of the acreage blooming and 13% setting pods. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Kerry Siekman, Survey Coordinator for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Warm weather advanced crop development in Minnesota during the week. The National Weather Service issued multiple heat advisories statewide and later in the week announced flood warnings in the northeast part of the state. Topsoil and subsoil moisture supplies remained mostly adequate. Temperatures averaged 4.0 degrees above normal at 74.1 degrees statewide. A statewide weekly average of 0.78 inches of rain fell, with the northeast region receiving the most rain at 1.85 inches. 19% of corn was at or beyond the silking stage, behind last year's 92% and the five-year average of 46%. Corn stalks grew an average of 15 inches last week to 59 inches. Corn conditions remained at 64% good or excellent. 39% of the soybeans were at or beyond the blooming stage, an advancement of 18 percentage points from the previous estimate. Soybean plants grew 4 inches to 16 inches tall. Soybean conditions improved to 65% good or excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Kerry Siegman.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS, and this is a crop progress and condition report for the week ending July 21st. Total precipitation from Monday, July 15th through Sunday, July 21st ranged from 0 in some areas to 1.58 inches at Perrysville. A week of hot, dry weather placed stress on both crops and livestock. Soil moisture was rapidly being depleted with the high temperatures. Most irrigation systems were running during the week to try to keep up with the moisture loss. 62% of the corn acreage is silked, compared with 88% last year and 60% for the five-year average. The high temperatures during the week causes some concern as to how well the corn will pollinate. Corn condition declined slightly and is rated 78% good to excellent, compared to 7% last year at this time. Several seed corn operations were busy with detasseling during the week. 56% of the soybean acreage is blooming, compared to 76% last year and 54% for the five-year average, and 12% of the crop is setting pods. Soybean condition is rated 74% good to excellent, compared to 12% last year at this time. Farmers made good progress harvesting winter wheat, with varying yields and test weights being reported. In fact, 96% of the winter wheat crop has now been harvested. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of the crop progress in the five top corn-producing states in the nation. On the phone line with us to take a look at Agricultural Energies is Dan O'Brien. He's at K-State University, Kansas, of course, one of those places that's been an up-and-coming corn producer in the last decade. How's the crop look there, Dan?
Pretty good under irrigation. on dry land in the west, it's suffered some, and central part of the state pretty good. So some variability.
Let's talk a little bit about Agricultural Energies, maybe some pricing trends and ethanol and what future prices and expectations might be for summer on into the fall. It's a pretty high price for ethanol at this point, I guess.
When we look at what's happened in July, we've had an average price of about $2.45 right in the heartland states. Again, Iowa, Illinois, where you're all at. The cost, by the time we go through some representative models, cost of about $2.40. So you've got a price of $2.45, cost of $2.40, profit of about 6 cents. We've been seeing profits really from March through July, averaging about 13 cents a gallon of ethanol produced. And that's a welcome thing for the ethanol industry. We'd averaged 10 cents per gallon loss all the way from January 2012 through February of this year. So some other issues to pay attention to would be how much capacity sitting idle. 14.7 billion gallons per year of ethanol capacity out there, but only about 13.4 of it in operation at this time. And of course, the big issue right now is probably, we don't have time to talk about it probably, but the RIN market prices for the various types of RINs, you know, starch-based, advanced biofuel, or even biodiesel are sky high. And again, people are anticipating the issues of the renewable fuel standards collision with the blend wall, and as a result of that, throw in a short corn crop or two, and you've got some real issues going on in the RIN market.
Will it be alleviated? We got maybe 15 seconds, so kind of a yes or no question. By the time we get to a new crop that brings in a big corn and number of bushels?
14 million bushel corn crop, lower price corn would help the situation. I don't know that it would alleviate it, but it'd help it quite a bit.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thanks, Todd.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State Extension, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes when we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Pecan Sandy Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1857, William Kelly is issued a U.S. patent for manufacturing of iron and steel. He invented the air blast method of forming steel from iron. His initial goal was to reduce the amount of fuel required for iron and steel making because of the immense amount of timber required to make the charcoal. But Kelly saw little financial gain from his idea. He went bankrupt in 1857 and was forced to sell his patent. In 1868, Christopher Nathan Scholes of Wisconsin patented a mechanical writing machine called a typewriter. It was as large as a desk made of black walnut and had black and white keys. He signed a deal with the Remington Arms Company for its manufacture in 1873. It was Remington who turned it into a more practical machine. In 1937, Nicholas Shackleton was born, an English geologist. He helped identify carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas by demonstrating that the fall of the ice ages was linked to decreases in atmospheric carbon dioxide. He also warned that excessive emissions of carbon dioxide could lead to global warming. By the way, during his lifetime, he amassed the world's largest collection of clarinets. And in 1982, a record low temperature of minus 117 degrees Fahrenheit was recorded at the South Pole. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
On this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report, time to talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Don, let's start with the Midwest and maybe someplace closer to you than I am. There has been some concern about Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and the dryness and the heat that has taken place and last week. Will they find any rainfall in the near future?
They should. In fact, and they're also going to see some relief from the heat. As we've seen for the summer so far, every time we start to build up a lot of hot weather, it just doesn't last too long. It doesn't stay in place, and that'll be the case. The temperatures are going to start to go down, and as we see that happen, shower and thunderstorm activity is going to be developing as well. Do I see excessive rain? No, but I do see the opportunity for Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota to get some rainfall here over the next week to 10 days.
A couple of inches a week is always good during the growing season, or at least an inch during the summertime. How much rainfall do you think they'll find?
Well, I think in terms of coverage, I would say amounts of that range are a good bet over, well, let's say, 40 to 50% of the area. Amounts are going to vary as they do with the thunderstorm pattern, but most of those areas you outlined have got decent chances for measurable rain that hopefully will be close to normal amounts over the next week or so.
The state statisticians earlier in this broadcast told us, at least from Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, that topsoil moisture levels had dropped dramatically, something between 15 and 20% in the last week. All of that, of course, due to the heat. That happens fairly quickly. Does it get replenished just as quickly?
Well, I think there's a chance it will, and especially with the fact that we will see temperatures turning a lot cooler. That is going to slow down evaporation rates, and I think that all in all, in 2 weeks from now, I think we'll be looking at a situation that's going to be a lot better.
How about in China? What's their crop look like at this time?
Well, they are looking at a weather pattern that is going to be a little bit on a warm and dry side here over the next week to 10 days. So those areas which have been looking at a fairly decent pattern is going to get a little bit hot and dry, and we will see a few dry concerns, especially in the central and eastern areas.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to visit our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming posted not long after it airs on our radio stations. Again, that's at willag.org. Have a smartphone. It should fit it. But if you don't like that page, try this one, M, that's M for mobile, .willag.org. M www.wilag.org, and you'll find an easy and quick way to listen to our programming, or if you just want to dial in, 217-333-3434. It's all part of the service for bringing markets and weather to you from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign campus and Illinois Public Media. Have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.